This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. A few months back, on a Friday night, I just finished hosting the Connecticut Forum in Hartford at the Bushnell. It was a pretty draining night, and per tradition, we planned to blow off steam and celebrate with the Where We Live crew. We made our way across Bushnell Park to the Barbecue Blues Club, Black Eyed Sally's, and what we saw on stage was pretty amazing. More musicians than I could count. Horns, guitar, drums, percussion, keyboards, a singer and a rapper, and they were belting out a New Orleans rhythm.
My spambo, see your spambo, sitting by the bio. Oh, my spambo, see your spambo, you're the city's flag on fire. Talking about hey now,
hey now,
hey now, hey now. Well, I could walk all day. Oh, shaka moon, see no hana, yeah. Oh, shaka moon, see no hana. My grandma, see your grandpa, sitting by the bio. Oh, my grandma, see your grandpa, he's gonna fix his chicken wire. Talking about hey now.
The band was called West End Blend. That song that took the band winding Mardi Gras style through the crowd came to them because at one gig they just needed to fill out their set list and needed to do it quickly. Trumpet player Mike Bifondo came to the rescue with Iko Iko. Sam Horan and Eric O'Brien tell the story.
He basically said, I know this song front to back, and I can basically teach it to you now.
He basically, I remember that rehearsal when we first did that. Like, he basically just started playing this horn line, and he asked, you know, he's very good at, like, directing the group. He just, like, pointed to all the horns, like, when they should come in, and then he just starts singing these words, and we're all blown away. That might have been one of the first times that I had ever heard voice.
Sing.
So that was a pretty intense moment.
My little mouse, your little mouse, was hitting down the bio. My little boss and your little boss, you're the city's flag on fire. Talking about hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
Well, I go on day. Oh, shaka bon fino, hana, yeah. Oh, shaka bon fino, yeah.
Watching West End Blend play for the first time was pretty intense, too. A joyous group of 14, 20-somethings with top music pedigrees and a pretty serious commitment to their hometown and to getting the crowd going.
We get together a massive amount of great musicians onto one little stage, and it pretty much is just, you have no choice but to have a good time and dance and move, and that's what we wanted to do.
West End Blend is made up of Eric O'Brien, vocalist, Sam Horan, who plays the drums, Polly Philippone, keyboardist, Jesse Combs, guitar, Mike DePanfilo, who also plays guitar, Alex Heaton and Andrew Cusinelli on percussion, Tom Sullivan on bass, John Mundy plays trombone, Zach Bartholomew plays alto sax, Mike Ullman tenor sax, and Vicky Medeiros baritone sax. Tang Sauce is the rapper, and the trumpet player is Mike Bifondo. Right away, we knew we really wanted to have this band on our show, but getting a 14-piece group together is tough, so West End Blend invited us to the Telefunken Factory and studio in South Windsor, site of their semi-regular Wednesday Blendsday rehearsals. Telefunken has made microphones for everyone from ZZ Top to Snoop Dogg, and when you make microphones, you need a place to test them. So they also have a big studio within their factory. Coming up, we're going to hear some of the music that West End Blend played for us on a rainy night 2 weeks ago. But first, guitarist Jesse Combs explains how the band got started.
We all used to live in the West End of Hartford, and we basically all were living in apartments across the street from each other. There's about probably seven of the members in the group or so that lived on the same street. So we always were together, so we're kind of used to a large number of people hanging out and playing. So that's kind of the same energy that we kind of tried to bring to a stage environment.
So in terms of being out in front of this band, Eric, maybe you can talk about this, because everyone is going to look at the people with the microphone, right? Everyone's going to look at the singer there. But you're in front of this amazing group of musicians. I mean, what are you trying to put out to people as you're in front of this band with all this sound coming from behind you?
Well, I think every time I go up there, I really try to, you know, portray us as a team.
This is how we do it.
I'm honestly, like, one of the vocalists there. I do a lot of the singing. Tang Sauce does a lot of the rapping. Every so often he comes in with the cornet. Michael Bifondo, who couldn't be here tonight, plays the trumpet. He also is a vocalist, and he also brings a lot to the table. Every single one of us brings a lot to the table. And I really love people to kind of feel that when they're watching us, like, every single element plays a role. like blending styles, blending people, blending like, you know, even art forms. We've had dancers join us on a stage one time, and Tang Sauce also dances. But yeah, like it's really about bringing everybody together.
That's Eric O'Brien, one of the vocalists for West End Blend. At the top of the show, we heard one of their cover tunes, but they've also got a growing number of original songs that will be on their forthcoming EP. One of these originals was written by Erica. Before we listened to the song called Speak, she gave us some of the backstory.
It was really just about, you know, kind of going through school. I'm currently a student, graduating next year, just kind of going through school and everything and meeting all these people at times that aren't, you know, that aren't real, that aren't very true, aren't very, very honest, and aren't very great to be around sometimes. And what I'm basically trying to convey in the song is that I wish a heart and soul would come and speak to me, because it doesn't seem like it seems a bit like that's rare, you know. And there are definitely times when I think that this group right here is like kind of where the heart and soul is.
Here's the song Speak by West End Blend, performed live for us at Telefunken Studios here on Where We Live.
I started thinking that I know the meaning of feeling like you're losing your game. I get it twisted, but I can't help believing that if things were right, I wouldn't complain. So let me wander, so let me dream of the gift that leaves the people to see. I have to wander, I have a dream that our heart and soul will come speak to me. Your favorite color, I got my favorite shade. Ain't nothing gonna bend like it should. I got my inhibitions. I feel you getting close. I'm telling you, I wish that you would. We start to stumble, we start to lean on the weakness, but the truth we don't see. No, 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 no. I have to wander.
We come from different lands, we come from different stories, we come with different plans. I'm playing E-flat.
Yo, what's that?
I'm playing D-sharp.
Oh, I know all that.
Homie, you gotta realize that's the same pitch. Let the vibe cross, the love won't switch. Wall I like, wall I like, wall I like, that's all right. Wall I like, wall I like, wall I like, that's all right. Wall I like, wall I like, wall I like, that's all right. We're all human and we make mistakes. I'm not perfect, I might need a second take, but please don't judge me. And I won't judge you.
I won't judge.
We'll do what you will. I won't do what I won't like. Yeah, who doesn't? I think it's dope. No matter nationalities, everybody has qualities. Personally, I think my friendship is all for personalities.
Okay.
Why I'm the king? Yeah, the dream. That dream was for you. That dream was for me. So sit at my table with the content of my character. Please don't let two shoes scare you.
Nope.
We all need love. We all need love. No matter the why, no matter the what. We all need love. We all need love. No matter the why, no matter the what.
We'll be right back.
That's West End Blend, a 14-piece Hartford band performing live for us at Telefunken in South Windsor. Coming up, more music and conversation on Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Today we're talking to the band West End Blend. We recently stopped by one of their rehearsals at Telefunken Studios in South Windsor. Let's listen to another song, one of the big book of covers that they've arranged specifically for their big band sound. This is a mashup of I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross and Mo Money, Mo Problems by the late rapper, the Notorious B.I.G.
like Osama, change it up like I'm Obama. So swag to the Dalai Lama, me and who's a beacon out of. Was it for my mommy, even if I have some drama. When the rhymes is all upon you, keep it quiet like I'm a comma. Deeper and deeper into the flow I go. I know the rhymes, I hold that time to steam. Very unconceivable, but it's retrievable. If you really take a listen, watch the wall of walking, cause the cause is only missing. Take it from the season, person like me that drives. You always wanna rock, bright colors at night. It's not the people on me rocking black and night walking by. So you better be rocking, probably walking, send up to the sky. You might get hit, and that's legitimate. That's we all upon a trip, and they're driving Connecticut. And that's realness, and I wouldn't say it less. Thanks, sauce in the game, like a right.
And well, I don't know what they want from me. It's like a mom. The more money we come across, the more problems we see. Well, I'm coming out. I want the world to know. I got to let it show. Well, I'm coming out. I want the world to know. Got to let it show. Hey, I'm coming.
That song is a mashup of Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out and Mo Money, Mo Problems by Biggie Smalls. It's performed by West End Blend, and if you want to hear more from them, you can catch them every Thursday night this month at Arch Street Tavern in Hartford. They've got a new EP coming out this summer, and guitarist Mike DePamphilo told us about the recording process for this 14-piece band.
Well, the EP was recorded here at Telefunken in late December, by our great recording engineer, Brendan Murawski, who also works at Jungle City in New York City. And then we have a great mixing and mastering engineer. His name is Bill Ryan, and he owns his own studio up in Southbridge. And he's been working on it for the last few months, and it's just getting to the end of mastering right now. So we're planning the date really soon. We're kind of figuring out when we're actually going to release it, but it's definitely coming out in the summer.
How do you guys feel about the EP? Feel pretty good about it? I mean, it's probably a lot of work went into this. And it's, you know, a few songs, but you're going to release this onto the world, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting. When we first completed the tracking process and listened back to it, we were really, really hyped up on it because, you know, just the sound quality you get from these microphones and from a great engineer like Brendan, it really shines through and gets us excited. But after about a few months down the road of constant revision and always listening to it and revising the mixes, and you know, at this point we're almost like it's not lost, but it's like we're not like on this cloud nine level anymore.
We're ready to get it out.
We're ready to finish.
Yeah.
Ready
exactly.
To finish.
We're ready for the audience to like know when it's gonna be and. You know, so they can like listen to it. You know?
Well, but talk about that. I mean, you work really hard on something, and then you tweak it, and you think about it. And you guys are all like top notch musicians, and everyone's got special ears, and everyone wants to hear exactly what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And then you start fiddling with it, and it's almost in some ways. And I've talked to musicians about this before. It's so different than the live experience, where you just go out there like a ball of fire, and you just do what you do, and everyone gives you feedback. And it doesn't matter if it's perfect. I mean, perfect wouldn't be great. Perfect wouldn't be right in a club, but you know, you try to make something perfect over time.
It's, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we're all about bringing that special vibration to the dance floor, to the room that we're playing in. So in the recording atmosphere, it can kind of it's tricky. It can be a slippery slope with what you want to change and what, you know, what way you want to do the tune.
14 musicians.
Yeah. Musicians. So
yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard during the mixing process to try and preserve that same initial feel, that same initial goal. So, you know, it's been a long process, but you know, I think all of us are really, really happy with it overall. And you know, being 14 musicians, that means that there's, you know, close to 100 tracks of audio in the mm-hmm. session too. So. Just the mixing process is just a very, very daunting task to take on. So
a little funny story. When we were recording this, the weekend that we had slotted off months in advance to record just happened to be one of the big blizzard weekends of the winter. So we're in here recording, and it becomes very apparent that we're all getting snowed in to Telefunken. So we're here until like 3 a.m. and finally we're just like, we have to brave the snow. So 14 of us drove. Mike lives up the road in South Windsor. So we all, you know, piled into cars and had to like adventure to sleep on Mike's floor. But then we got up in the morning and kept on going.
The last song we're going to hear from West End Blend is called The Split. It was written by their keyboardist, Polly Philippone.
I actually wrote that song as a kind of a jazz tune. And I just, you know, I was figuring out some changes and I was working out different shout courses. And I was thinking about writing it for big band initially. And then I figured, you know, if I flip some things around and work on it a little bit, I think it could work for this band because we practically are a big band. So I brought it home to my house and I played it on the Hammond organ, which instantly makes everything way more funky.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me see it in a different light. You know, the Hammond organ, it's a completely different instrument, and I just totally, my whole brain flipped on it, and it was like I was split between playing it with a funk group or playing it with, you know, a jazz group, and it kind of just kind of, it became its own thing. So I brought it to this group half done, and I basically sat down in the rehearsal and I pointed at each of the horn players and sang them their parts, and I didn't use a chart at all for it because it was so new at the time, and everybody picked it up really quickly, and after one rehearsal it was pretty much a finished tune.
That's Polly Philippone talking about the song he wrote for West End Blend called The Split. If you want to see this band live, and you should, check them out at their Thursday night residency at Arch Street Tavern in Hartford. West End Blend's EP is coming out this summer. This song is called The Split, performed at Telefunken Studios in South Windsor, here on Where We Live.
hopped up the boogie, looking to bond in the bond and bang to bang, diggy diggy. Hopped up the boogie, hopped up the boogie. I believe that tonight we'll be radical. I got a positive attitude, got gratitude for the moment I'm in. Now I'm getting ready for the night, gaining momentum. Close, check, fresh, yes. And the direct is one of the best ways to be. Saw a sister across the street say, cause we headed to the same thing.
Okay. Don't need to change yourself, ain't nothing to give for nobody else. Relax your mind. Take a look in the mirror, could it be any clearer? Raise your hand if you hear me. Oh, down, 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 da 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 da. Don't need to change yourself, ain't nothing to give. So just take your time. Take a look in the mirror, could it be any clearer? Raise your head now. All right, break it down now.
So fresh. Dope.
Right after our break, the controversial election in Ukraine is coming up, and a local professor is going there as an election monitor. More after this break, where we live.
Yeah, got a little CV, wanna join for ya. Yeah, looking back on when I was a little flat-headed girl. Y'all know it's this morning, though. And my only worry was for Christmas, what would be my toy? We sometimes would not get a thing. We were happy with the joy the day would bring. Sneaking out the back door to hang out with those hoodlum friends of mine. Well, greeted at the back door. What kind of thought I told you not to go outside?
This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. The political turmoil in Ukraine is far from over. After throwing out former President Viktor Yanukovych, Ukrainians are headed to the polls to vote on a new president and a new constitution. This is in the midst of turmoil surrounding Russian incursions into Ukraine. This election won't solve all the country's problems.
You need to face the reality that nobody is absolutely clean here, which is a normal reality in plenty of post-Soviet republics.
Well, then what do you do? I mean, how do you clean a house if everybody is dirty?
Then you find people who are less dirty and you work with them.
That's Agnieszka Piasecka talking to NPR's Ari Shapiro about electoral house cleaning in former Soviet countries. The international community will be watching these elections in Ukraine very closely. One of those watching in person will be Matthew Schmidt. He's an assistant professor of national security and political science at the University of New Haven. He'll be a monitor for the national election in Ukraine later this month. Matthew Schmidt, welcome to Where We Live.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
First of all, explain how you were chosen as a part of a U.S. delegation to monitor the upcoming Ukrainian election.
Well, I asked Senator Blumenthal's office to second me, and they wholeheartedly agreed. And then I went through the nomination process with their recommendation behind me and was chosen.
What do elections monitors do? Do you know what you're going to be doing there?
Yes. Yeah, so in the U.S., we call it poll watching. Essentially, I'll walk around with a clipboard with a piece of paper that says, people are stuffing ballots, check or not, or, people are being harassed outside the polls or things like that. So we simply observe and then mark down what it is we're observing. And then all of those sheets from all of the observers are compiled by the OSCE to make a determination on the legitimacy of the election.
Maybe you can explain to the best of your ability what this election will look like. What will Ukrainians be going to the polls to vote on? And how much can you tell us about whether or not this election is going to be a true representation of how the people of Ukraine feel right now?
The election is primarily to elect a new president. So there are about a dozen candidates in the field right now. Expectations are that there are two leading candidates, Poroshenko and Tymoshenko, and that these two will have the two highest vote numbers on May 25th and then go into a runoff election later in June to see who gets a majority vote. The other issue with the election is that there is expected to be a referendum on a new constitution.
So let's get to some of the news here and talk a little bit about what we've heard over the course of the last few days when President Obama met with German Chancellor Angela Merkel a few days ago at the White House. They made it very clear that Russia would face tougher sanctions from the European Union and from America if the Ukrainian election is disrupted. I'm wondering, as you go into this role as an observer, how much the overall geopolitical controversy around Ukraine, around the way in which sanctions have been imposed so far, how much, if at all, any of that plays into your mind, or if you are going with this job to just literally look at what you see, write it down, and report back?
Well, I'm going with a split mind. On the one hand, the job is just to go look at what I see and write it down. On the other hand, I'm an expert on Russian politics, and so I'm constantly aware of what's going on. And so that's always in the back of my mind.
As an expert on Russian politics, what do you make of the possibility of pro-Russian forces, whether they be, as some people say, mobs of Ukrainians, as others say, Russian military specialists in various parts of the eastern part of the country? How much do you see the possibility of disruption being caused by Russian forces?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that there is a war on the ground right now. It's not a conventional war, it's an unconventional war, and it's fought with a variety of actors. On the one hand, there are professional soldiers from Russian special forces, from Russian intelligence agencies. On the other hand, there are ex-soldiers that have come from private military corporations, and there are also locals, many of whom themselves are ex-Soviet military or ex-Ukrainian military. So in summary, what you have is that Moscow lit the fire, and Moscow continues to fan the fire, but the bulk of the fuel keeping the fire going is in fact local.
Explain a bit more about what you mean.
What I mean is that on the ground in eastern Ukraine and southern Ukraine, there is a very strong native Russian sentiment. Whether or not that sentiment would have exploded into the kinds of events that we see, the kinds of paramilitary organizations that we see, is an open question. Moscow certainly had a direct hand in founding those organizations, in organizing them, and supporting them as this unconventional war runs. But those organizations are by and large from the local population.
We're talking with Matthew Schmidt, an assistant professor of national security and political science at the University of New Haven. He'll be a monitor for the national election in Ukraine later this month. This is where we live. What do you think the role of the United States, aside from sending monitors and watching this from afar, what do you think the role of the United States should be right now in Ukraine?
The role of the United States has to be first and foremost to support its European allies, especially its NATO allies. As far as Ukraine goes, it's important morally for the U.S. to support the Ukrainian government in Kiev right now, the provisional government, but it's not geostrategically important. And I think that's the problem that the United States faces right now. So we want to support the government, but the only way in which effective support seems to be possible right now is with some kind of direct military aid, and it's simply not in our interest to do that.
I'm wondering, getting back to the day of the elections, do you know where you're going to be that day?
I don't. I won't know that until we land in Kiev.
Depending on where you are, I'm quite sure that what you're going to see is quite different. How much thought have you given that? I mean, if you're in a mostly Russian-speaking eastern or southern part of that country, what you may see on the ground is going to be, I would assume, quite a bit different than if you're in Kiev itself.
Yeah, I think that the east and the southern part of Ukraine will be interesting, far more so than if I were, say, in Lviv. The thought that I've given it is this. There's obviously concern about personal safety, but the OSCE has no interest in getting its observers, kidnapped or captured or anything like that. And so, again, I think that the expectation is for the observer missions to seek to be there to approach the polls, and if they are not allowed into the polls, to simply make a note of it and turn back.
But as we've seen in prior elections in places like Afghanistan or Iraq, election day can be a touch point for violence. How much have you and those you're going with prepared for the possibility that, because we have this unrest certainly in the East, that we have both forces on the ground and locals, we have Russia essentially is inserting itself into Ukrainian politics. How much do you worry that election day itself will be a touch point for violence?
I think that there's a good chance that there will be violence on election day. I think that, again, speaking as a professor, not as an OSCE volunteer, that Putin's plan is to invalidate the election essentially by keeping people away from it. Therefore, being able to claim afterwards that the vote is illegitimate because X number of people didn't show up at the polls. So I'm not so sure that the operational plan is going to be to create violence at the polls as much as it's going to be to keep people away.
From what you know, will this vote be held in Crimea, the part of Ukraine which has essentially been annexed militarily by Russia?
I don't know for sure, but my guess is that no, the vote will not be held in Crimea.
Are there other places where you know for sure right now the vote may or may not be held? I mean, is the assumption, Matthew, that this vote will be held across what we know as Ukraine today?
The assumption is that it will be held all the way across Ukraine.
How do you prepare for a job like this?
I think the first thing is you keep in mind the very limited aims of the mission. So nobody is out there to be a superhero or intervene and make the election legitimate. We're just there to observe. Our position is to see and then to back off with any kind of confrontation. You simply prepare yourself like you would for any other kind of event. You make sure that you have a way to communicate to friends and family back home. You have the right kind of equipment with you. And mostly you rely on the professionalism of the OSCE to get you the driver and the interpreter and to have the security structure in place to allow the mission to go forward.
Hmm. Are you hopeful for Ukraine? Clearly this is a situation that went from one in which there was quite a bit of enthusiasm in the streets of Kiev to one where this has become the major international hot spot in the world, where we're very concerned about what Russia will do. And we in the United States and the West feel powerless because, as you said, military response, something that the U.S. seems to jump to quite frequently these days, is completely off the table. Given all these things, the uncertainties and the things that you see, are you hopeful about what's going to come out of this election and for the people of Ukraine?
In the long term, I am. We have to go back and remember how this all started. Remember the epithets that were thrown at the protesters in Kiev from Moscow, from the Kremlin directly. They were called gay fascists, quite literally, picking up on the kind of language that Putin used during the Sochi Olympics. And so I think in the long term, what you have is a situation where some kind of Western-leaning, European-leaning government will take hold in Kiev. The question is, over what kind of territory? Will it include the Far East? Will it include the South, given today, right? Will it include Odessa and those regions? I don't know. I think that's an open question. And the lack of those, if it doesn't include those regions, I think it's a lot more tenuous. But even if it doesn't include those regions, some kind of government leaning towards Europe, seeking entrance into the European Union, carrying forward those kinds of inclusive European values, the antithesis of the values that Putin has laid out for Russia, will emerge and will be stronger. We're at an inflection point right now, and all inflection points are always inherently dangerous.
But to loop back to a prior conflict in that region, after the results of the so-called Orange Revolution, when a new government took shape in Ukraine, much of the talk then was about whether the Ukrainian government pushed too hard to, for instance, try to take the Russian language out of the public sphere, that Russians and Russian speakers, people who identify more closely with Russia, were treated somewhat differently in the intervening years between the early 2000s and now. Do you think that there is something to that as well, not just Putin's influence after the demonstrations in Kiev of last year through early this year, but also the way the government itself in Ukraine has reacted and some of the populace has reacted over the course of the last decade or so toward Russians?
Right, absolutely. That's what I mean when I say that the fuel for the fires that you see raging in Ukraine right now is local and legitimate to some extent. So, for instance, the early law that was passed by the provisional government, by the provisional parliament, and was vetoed by the acting president about making Russian a secondary language was incredibly stupid, and did more to inflame the situation. If you read the reports in the New York Times and the Washington Post right now, you see that the militants in Slavyansk, in eastern Ukraine, cite that law as, in their minds, evidence of the fact that they can't trust the regime in Kiev. So there have been some major missteps by the provisional regime.
Mm. Well, Matthew Schmidt, Assistant Professor of National Security and Political Science at the University of New Haven, I wish you very good luck and safe travels to Ukraine, and we would love to talk with you when you come back and learn a little bit about what you see on the ground there.
Thank you very much, and I'll be certain to come back and talk.
Where We Live is produced by Lydia Brown and Tucker Ives. The executive producer is Katie Tolarski. I'm John Dankosky. Have a great weekend.